Hey there. If you have been feeling that tug on your heart to start your own podcast or level up your current one, let me put you onto something that has been a game changer for me. Riverside.fm. Listen, I know the struggle. Glitchy audio, blurry video, and praying your Wi-Fi holds up. With Riverside, you don't have to worry about any of that. It records studio quality audio and 4K video, all saved locally, meaning your recording is crisp and clear no matter what your internet is doing. And streaming? Super easy. You can go live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch all at the same time. That means more eyes, more ears, and more impact for your message. So, if you're serious about sharing what God has placed on your heart with excellence, Riverside.fm is the way to go. Tap the link in my show notes to start your free trial today. Sis, remember this. Your voice matters. Let's make sure they hear it clearly. Do you feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain, and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast, Healing Happens Here. So great to be back with you. Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. If you are a repeat listener, I am forever grateful that you are supporting me in this endeavor. And if you're new around here, I want to extend a very warm welcome to you. I hope that in your listening to this podcast, you will find not only comfort, but healing for your soul through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So today's episode 51 is entitled, The Will to Overcome. The will to do something refers to the determination to accomplish a goal or make something happen. You may think of willpower here. Some dictionaries define the will to do something based on a person making a thing happen using their own thoughts, determination, or desires. Some synonyms for the will to do something would be drive or intent. Now, as marked women, we understand that our strength to carry out anything comes from God alone. So there is a difference in how we approach the will to do anything. Now, if you have found yourself struggling severely, chronically struggling with despair, discouragement, emotional challenges, you know, in doing a little bit of research, some of the biggest struggles, women, godly women, ungodly women, just women as general, some of the biggest struggles that women face, that we face as women, are fear, depression. Depression is higher among women than it is among men. Now, of course, we don't know that everyone is being fully transparent when they're coming forward with their struggles about depression. But for all intensive purposes and based on easily accessible studies and research, depression tends to be higher among women. But anyway, fear, depression, anxiety, loneliness, grief and loss, self-doubt, stress, overwhelm, guilt, shame. These are some of the top struggles that women face. And so when we find ourselves, or if you have ever found yourself literally in an ongoing perpetual rut to overcome these things, so much so that you're beginning to feel frail, weak, you feel the life kind of draining out of you. And this is, I'm referring to the believing woman, the woman who believes in the Lord Jesus. You feel like you are just stuck in troubled waters. That's not a sinful thing or a shameful thing. If you look at a lot of the prophets of old, you see that they had challenges with depression. They feared God, they served God, they loved God, but they were depressed. They had some struggles. Life was closing in on them from every side. And they had those emotional challenges when troubles were rising among them. So this is not anything to feel ashamed of. It is nothing to feel like less of a believer from. This is real life. You may have serious, weighty challenges and issues that you feel are unending. And you may even be asking, Lord, where are you in the midst of this? Father, I know that there are some trials that I have to endure, but God, this is unrelenting. You may feel like your suffering and your weeping is enduring far beyond a night. I want to talk to you specifically today about the will to overcome. Yes, in the midst of the tumult, in the midst of the turbulence, you can still find the will to overcome. Now, when I say will to overcome, that may not mean that your circumstance is going to be erased. There may be a lot in life that the Lord has for you. There may be that thing, that thorn in your side that the Lord just simply won't remove in this lifetime. And He's simply saying to you, my grace is sufficient for you. But even in the midst of that, He can give you the will to overcome. Remember, as marked women, we realize that He is our source of strength. He is our source of power. He is the one who gives us the will to do anything. And I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to wash us in the word and give us some scriptural evidences for the fact that it is God and not us who moves and gives us the power and the strength to do any and all things. All right, Philippians 2:13, this is the New Living Translation. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Hebrews 13:21 says, may He equip you with all you need for doing His will. May He producing you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to Him. All glory to Him forever and ever. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, it is not that we think we're qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. Colossians 1:29 says, that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Another version, the NASB version says, for this purpose, I also labor, striving according to His power, which works mightily within me. So there's actually one more that I want to read, and this is Isaiah 26, verse 12. And that says, Lord, You will grant us peace. All we have accomplished is really from You. All that we have accomplished is really from You. So as we are fixing our hearts and our minds toward having and possessing the will to overcome, I'm going to give a list, but I think the very first step, that preliminary step, is understanding and acknowledging that all we can accomplish, all we have accomplished, all that we will accomplish is really from the Lord Jesus. So let that be the prayer and the standpoint that shapes and positions your heart for this next endeavor of formulating and building up and stirring up the will to overcome whatever seems to be the thorn in your life, whatever seems to be this cloud of darkness, whatever seems to be this constant and ever-flowing fountain of pain, begin to position your heart that it's not going to be by your strength, it's not going to be by your might, but by the Spirit of the living God. It is going to be by His Spirit. So let's just be overcome with that, that it is not going to be me, but it's going to be Christ in me. It's going to be His Spirit in me. So if it's going to be His Spirit in me, I'm going to have to connect with Him. I'm going to have to connect with Him in a real way, a steadfast way, a consistent way, a diligent way. I am going to have to connect with the Lord because it is going to be Him that does this thing through me. So let's move forward. There are some we already covered preliminary steps, but there are going to be some key steps that I'm going to give you for formulating and building up the will to overcome. These are going to be steps that you need to be taking in order to overcome. And then I'm going to end it with what I like to call Jacob's model. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along in today's episode. But before we get started, let's take a quick break and hear a bit about the Marked Store. I want to quickly add that a perfect resource for today's episode is the Marinate in the Weight quote journal. Now, during this quick commercial break, I will include information about accessing the Marked Store website, but I'll also put the link for this journal in the show notes. Now, this journal is perfect. It's wonderful for capturing your thoughts, ideas. It'll be great for listing down today's 8 steps in Jacob's model. And what is also really beautiful about this journal is that there are 15 pages of rich signature faith-fueled quotes that will uplift, charge, and inspire you. So check that out as well. Home is where the rest is, and my desire is to help you in creating homes that are set apart, where the Spirit of God dwells, and healing and equipping abide. So whether you're searching for the perfect touch to cozy up your spaces or a way to naturally incorporate rich scripture and faith to the flow of your everyday life, the Marked Store has you covered. And let's not forget our precious littles. The Marked Store has an adorable collection of infant onesies and bibs. Here is the best part. My listeners get an exclusive discount. Use the code MarkedHome15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase, and Marked is spelled M-R-K-D. So go ahead, head over to the Marked Store today at www.markedstore.com. That's M-R-K-D store. And start filling your life with faith, love, and rest. All right, we're back. Now let's get into the 8 steps that are going to be needed in order to build the will to overcome. Number one, you're going to have to lead with repentance and love. Even if you find yourself in situations that have been stemmed from betrayal or letdowns or hurt or harm from others, what can end up happening in those situations is, even though you did not initiate this injustice, whatever the injustice was, you didn't initiate it, but it can easily become sin when we're not handling it according to how God has instructed us to do so. I have a quote that you can find in the Marinate in the Weight journal that is available through the Marked Store. And it says, "Pain, if left unchecked, will inevitably birth unrighteousness." I often think of Psalm 37. I believe it's Psalm 37. Yes, it's Psalm 37. The entire psalm ministers so much to the hurting and injustice heart. But I really like to think of verse 7 that says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not get upset because of one who is successful in his way, because of the person who carries out wicked schemes." That was the NASB version. The New Living Translation says, "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes." Verse 8 goes on to say, "Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm." So we have a part to play as the party who has been wronged, as the party who is legitimately the victim, for the party who has been slighted, who has been violated, who has been betrayed, who has been cheated on, who has been talked about, who has been backbitten, who has been backstabbed. Fill in the blank as it applies to your situation. As the party who has been forgotten, fill it in according to your situation. There is a responsibility that you hold. And that first part is, of course, to forgive. But if you haven't forgiven, if it has sat in your soul for a while and you find yourself stewing and brewing and angry and bitter and festering, go on ahead and repent, my dear sister. Go on ahead and lead with repentance and love. Let that be your foundation so that your heart remains clear, soft, pliable, and you remain covered by God. The enemy will not have any basis as to which he can accuse you. The second step, walking by the Spirit and by faith and not by feelings and sight. When you're looking to overcome, nothing around you is going to look overcomable. The storm can be raging, the fire can be burning, the schemes can be unraveling. It's not going to look like an atmosphere in which you can overcome. But this is where you are going to step out of the flesh. You're going to step out of the facts and you're going to step into faith and you're going to start walking according to the Spirit of the living God. You're going to start being led by the Holy Spirit, not by your flesh. Number three, the third step, you are going to feast and feed on a diet of intercession and fasting. Some things cannot be overcome except through fasting. You're going to have to turn your plate down. The fourth step, putting off the old self and putting on the new self. You're not going to be able to have and maintain the will to overcome by continuing to do what you used to do and being who you used to be. You're going to have to put on the new self. The next step, forgetting the former things and looking ahead. And boy, how hard is that? How hard is it to forget at times? How hard is it to forget the pain? How challenging can it be, especially if it is from people who you have to continually see and interact with? Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's the colleagues that you work with. Maybe it is other members in your place of worship. How difficult can it be to forget the former things? It might even be difficult to forget the former you. Maybe you're carrying a ton of shame because of things that you've done, things that you've said, thoughts that you've had. Maybe you can't see yourself or you never have imagined being able to see yourself through a different lens because your story is so murky, so cloudy, so filled with details that you'd rather forget. You're going to have to forget the former things. You're going to have to forget what has been done to you. And it doesn't mean literally that you will suddenly have no remembrance of it. You may have a remembrance of it, but that cannot be your driving compass. That cannot be your anchor. That cannot be the pilot of your plane. You're going to have to look ahead. God is doing a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in me. He wants to do a new thing in you. But if our heads are turned backwards and we're looking at what is behind us, one, we're not even going to see where we're going. And we're not going to be able to walk forward while looking backward. The sixth step, putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you are at a place where you don't yet have the will to overcome, you may have more dark days than days where the sun is shining. And what can happen in these instances is that because you have more dark days than days where you see sunshine, than more days where you feel the presence of God and you feel hopeful, if you begin to calculate those days, they start to add up. And all of a sudden, you have a story that is filled with gloom all the time, non-ending gloom, non-ending despair, non-ending sadness, non-ending pain, non-ending hopelessness. And before you know it, you become so weak that you can't pray, you can't praise, you can't trust God, you can't see Him anymore. I challenge you that when you are feeling low, when that spirit of heaviness is hovering around, put on the garment of praise. You don't have to feel happy. You don't have to feel joy. You don't even have to feel peace to praise. Praise is something that you do, and it's an act of faith. It is a matter of choice. It is not based on how you feel. It is based on who God is, and His status, His person never fluctuates or changes. So you do it as an act of obedience, but you also do it, you do it in spite of. You may say, oh, I don't feel like praising. It isn't about what you feel. It is, you know what? I praise. This is what I do as a marked woman, as a marked daughter. I praise. You know how many times I've praised with tears in my eyes? You know how many times I've praised when I just didn't feel like it, when my circumstance didn't even call for a praise? My circumstance didn't call for a praise, but the living God called for a praise. So that's where you do that. And you'll be surprised when you begin to pray, especially in your darkest hour. There is something that happens. There is a breaking that takes place. It is such a clarion call to be able to boldly do something that the situation doesn't call for. It is such a tactic to shield you, to protect you, to elevate Christ in you, to elevate the power of God, you know, His strength being made perfect in your weakness. And it does something for your spirit. It creates a shift without you even realizing it when your focus becomes praise. All right, on to the next step. Normalizing and treasuring the unlikely. Now, what in the world am I talking about here? It kind of ties in interestingly to praising when there's nothing in you, within you, that wants to praise or even can praise. Sometimes your praise will actually be a whisper. That's how weak it'll be. But for this next step, normalizing and treasuring the unlikely, I think of David. David was so unlikely. I'm talking about young David. He was the youngest child of Jesse. I believe Jesse had 8 sons. David was the youngest. And when the prophet went to Jesse's house to anoint the next king, everyone thought surely this would be Jesse's firstborn that would be king, or maybe his secondborn or his thirdborn. And no, it was the baby. It was the little shepherd boy. You know, when David's brothers were sent out to war, when they had the threat from Goliath, and David was assigned to kind of bring them, he was like the water boy. He was assigned to bring them the cheese and the bread. It ended up being him to overcome this great big giant, not with any weapons, not with any artillery, but with a slingshot and a rock. God's math doesn't math. So as you start gaining momentum, as you are incorporating these steps and building up your most holy faith to be able to have the will to overcome, I want you to stop thinking of all the ways. Don't even have a frame of reference for what overcoming is going to look like. Because listen, my beloved sister, God's math does not math. The math won't be mathing. I promise you that. The way that God will work in your overcoming testimony will be so unconventional, because that's how God moves. So you could be fretting because you're like, wow, you know, the only way I can get out of this thing is I have to go through the exit. And there are only 2 exits here, and both of the exits are on fire. And God is like, I wasn't going to take you through the exits anyway. I was going to lift the whole roof off of this thing and just grab you out from the top. I was going to dig a tunnel and have you go down below and crawl out through another means. I'm just using those as an example. But don't even have a frame of reference. Don't start thinking about how the overcoming is going to happen. You know, if you're in a rocky situation, if you're in a troubled relationship, you may be thinking, okay, God is going to surely just turn this person around and He's going to change everything about them and it's going to be wonderful. Maybe God might do that. God is capable. Of course, this isn't a matter of whether or not God can do it, but that might not be what God chooses to do. He may choose to change you. He may choose, I don't know. But learn to normalize and treasure the unlikely. And that, I think, is you know, even in me just sharing this right now, it kind of bubbles up a praise inside of me, because it's like, wow, when I'm racking my brain on how I can overcome a situation or a season or a chapter, or just continue to overcome as a daughter, I start to think about, oh, what does that have to look like? And you kind of feel yourself trying to figure it out instead of just pressing forward. It causes a praise to rise in me because I feel the pressure just releasing. I feel that expectation just melting right off of me because it's not going to be by my might or my power, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God. The last step is dwelling in the secret place rather than the wreckage. This kind of goes back to the diet of intercession and fasting. As you're fasting is a form of crucifying and killing the flesh. But as you're doing those things to kind of keep your flesh in its place, you learn to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91. And that's a place of rest. You can have deep rest in the midst of a storm. Look at Jesus on the boat with the disciples. There was this raging storm out in the ocean, the sea, and Jesus was able to rest in it. So rest is available. And as you are building up the will to overcome, I'm telling you, and I'm speaking to myself, I'm building up my most holy faith, you can experience rest in the midst of your storm. So I know I mentioned that that was the last step, but there's actually one more that I cannot forget because it is equally important. All the steps are important, but I want to end on this note. The last and final step is seeking out or nurturing or maintaining or utilizing mentors and cheerleaders who can hold our souls accountable and water our spirits. These are men and women whose eyes are clear and they have eyes to see. You need some older women or some older folk who have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you need them to be wise enough and discerning enough to see through what it is that you are journeying and travailing through, because they know that once the travailing is over and that thing is birthed, it's going to be good because they've seen it, they've lived it, they themselves have travailed. So you need them in your ears to be encouraging you and cheering you on in this journey. No man is an island, and we're here for each other. You know, it has been God's mercy and his favor toward me that he has blessed me with countless pioneers of the faith in my walk from the time I was a young girl. I especially remember mentors and older women who were so precious and pivotal in my walk, starting with my very own mother, to many women that the Lord sent my way, that honestly, if it was obviously not for the Lord and it was not for their vision, their love, their wisdom, their insight, their intercession, I don't know where I would have been. I'm so grateful for the cheerleaders and mentors and pioneers who are in my life at this very moment, who speak life into me and pray over me and sometimes provide me with that gentle rebuke, but they also provide me with a living witness and testimony. Those are the people that you need in your corner. And so let's finish up today's episode with Jacob's model. What in the world is Jacob's model? So in your Bible study time, I want you to read this particular story about Jacob in Genesis 32. And this is where Jacob is preparing to meet Esau. If you don't know the story of Jacob and Esau, you're going to have to go back and read it in Genesis. Jacob and Esau were basically brothers. I'll give you the skinny, the short and skinny. Jacob and Esau are twin brothers, and Jacob stole Esau's birthright. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And Jacob deceived their father, pretending to be Esau, and he took the firstborn's blessing. So they had, you know, obviously they were at bitter odds for many, many years. Fast forward, Jacob is preparing to meet Esau. He wants peace with him, and he's very afraid because he knows how angry Esau was, and he's afraid for his life. So he prepares to meet him. And so I'm going to read a little bit of this to you. I don't know if I'm going to read it. It's actually very long. But Jacob sends out messengers ahead of him to meet his brother in the land of Seir. And so he gave them specific instructions. He told them what they were to say. And he's basically trying to entreat Esau. He's trying to pacify him. He's sending, you know, tons of animals and all sorts of things, donkeys, cattle, sheep, goat, male and female servants. And he's trying to get favor in Esau's eyes because he's so scared. And so messengers come back to Jacob and they basically say, we went to Esau. He's coming to meet you and he has 400 men with him. So now Jacob is like, oh my goodness, he's going to rip me to shreds. Like, he's going to come and possess the land. He's going to really harm me and all my people for what I did to him. And so Jacob is very distressed and he's crying out to God and He's reminding God of what God told him. God told him to go back to his country and his relatives and that he would make Jacob prosper. And so Jacob is like, listen, he's coming out here. He's bringing all these men. It doesn't sound like I'm a prosper. It sounds like I'm about to be 6 feet under. So Lord, please, I'm unworthy of all the kindness that you have shown, but I need help. Save me from my brother's hand. I'm afraid. And so Jacob prepares to go and, you know, meet his brother. So he's traveling and he sends everything he can to his brother. And he sends all of his people off. He sends off his servants, his herd. He sends off his wives. And so he was left alone that night. Again, I'm just paraphrasing. And it says in Genesis 32, verses 24, so Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. I want to talk about Jacob's model. When we look at this again, go back and read it in your time. I kind of just quickly skimmed over that. But number one, Jacob had a repentant heart. He realized that he sinned greatly against his parents and he sinned greatly against his brother. And he had a repentant heart. He sought to make it right to his brother. That's the first thing in Jacob's model. Number two, he remembered God's promises to prosper him. So despite him hearing that his brother is coming with all these men, he's like, listen, God, you told me that if I obey you, you will prosper me. You told me to go back to this land and now I'm trying to go back to the land. And it sounds like my brother's really angry. I'm reminding you of your promises and I'm remembering your promises. So number one, he had a repentant heart. He sought to make things right. Number two, he remembered God's promises to prosper him. So remembering God's promises. Number three, he made a plan and used a strategy. He gathered his servants. He began sending things to his brother. He had a strategy and a plan. The next step in Jacob's model is that he delegated and had help. He didn't try to do this all on his own. He had servants and messengers who were working with him. He did not do it alone. Okay. He did not overcome alone. The next step in Jacob's model, he gave his best. Okay. He sent all sorts of his best to Esau. He gave his best. So as you are getting the will to overcome, you are going to have to give your best. Your best is going to be required, whether it's carving out that time for prayer and fasting, whether it's carving out your best praise, putting off the old self, old tendencies, default ways of thinking, default emotions. He gave his best. The next thing, he went into solitude. He sent everyone away. So after he crossed the ford of the Jabbok, I'm going back to verse 22. He crossed that threshold with his female servants, his wives, his 11 sons. He went into solitude. It was just him. He sent everyone there so that he was alone. And he tarried with God all night. You know, as I read the commentaries on this, some believe it was an angel, some believe it was God. And that's because what you see in verse 28, where his name is changed. The man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and you've overcome. Keyword, overcoming. That's what today's episode is all about. Overcoming, the will to overcome. So as he got into solitude, it's like he grabbed on and he tarried with God all night until the blessing and the answer came. He forewent sleep. He became desperate. He realized his need and who could help him. And he reminded God of that. He toiled with the Lord. And so as you build up the will to overcome, That is going to be the last and final step in Jacob's model. You are going to have to tarry with God. There are going to be some things you're going to have to sacrifice, but you're going to have to hold on and wrestle with the Lord until he blesses you with the answer. And that answer that you seek is the answer to overcome. My dear sister, keep pressing. Don't give up. God is with you. Until next time. Dear listener, your support means everything. And without your listenership, there would be no show. Thank you for tuning in and be sure to leave a review. I'd love to know the impact of the show in your personal life. And I'd love to increase the chances of other women discovering and being transformed through this podcast. In the meantime, let's stay connected. Visit www.shesmark.com for more episodes, services, collaboration info, to shop the Marked store, or to make donations. In closing, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." The woman marked by God bears his seal, belongs to him, and is protected by him. She is a partaker in the divine nature of Christ, and therefore she is free.